And the Bible says, repent, change your mind. Why? Because humility is a choice. Let me say that again. Humility is a choice. It's something you choose to do to yourself. Did you know that never in the Bible are you told to pray, God, humble me? Not once in Scripture are you ever told by God to pray, God, humble me, God, keep me humble. Doesn't say that. It says, humble yourself.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Have you ever felt pressured to make choices that don't align with your values? Well, the truth is, we all have. As we continue in this series called Unshakable, which is based on the life of Daniel, you'll discover how to live for God no matter what comes your way. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about something called the Verses of Hope Box. This beautifully designed and stylish vegan leather box is filled with artfully illustrated scripture cards that will daily restore your sense of hope when life gets the best of you. You can take a sneak peek just by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word daily to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called When God Tests You with Success.
There are three causes of Nebuchadnezzar's fall and his breakdown. You might write these down. Number one, we get into trouble because, number one, we get comfortable and complacent with success. We get comfortable and complacent. Now, this happens to all of us. When things are going good, you just get complacent. Daniel chapter 4, verse 4, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was enjoying a time of peace and prosperity in my kingdom and palace. And I was taking it easy without a care in the world. Does that sound like somebody who's praying every day? No. Let me ask you a personal question. Do you pray more in pain or pleasure? Oh, there's no doubt when you do. You pray more when you're in pain. When you're in pain, oh God, I need your help right now. When things are going great, hey, let's go to the beach. You're not even thinking about God when things are going good in your life. And so it's pleasure that pulls us away. It's the good times when pride creeps in that we forget God. I want you to notice all the personal pronouns in this next statement of Nebuchadnezzar. He said, I said to myself, just look. Now, notice the I's and the me and the my's. I said to myself. Okay, you ever talk to yourself? Oh, you do it all the time. I said to myself, just look at this great city of Babylon that I have created. I, by my own mighty power, have built this beautiful city for my glory. I built it to show my power, my might, my majesty, and my glory. Wow, that's quite humble, isn't it? This is a problem right here. Remember the lesson of the whale. When you get to the top and you're ready to blow, that's when they harpoon you. Be humble or you will stumble. Nehemiah needed to go read chapter 1 of Purpose Driven Life. The first line, it's not about you. No, it's all about God. He thought it's all about himself. Now, throughout the Bible, we're warned constantly about the dangers of pride. The middle letter of pride is what? I. The middle letter of sin is what? Pride causes sin. Pride is the root of all sin. No matter what the sin is, so I know God says don't gossip, but I think I know better than God, so I will gossip. I know I'm supposed to forgive that person, but I know better. So pride is the renewed. I know what God says about sex, but I'm going to do my thing. I know what God says about money, but I'm going to do my thing. I know what God says about, pride is the root of every other sin. Pride is the sin that got Satan kicked out of heaven. God hates pride more than anything else in life because it says, I'm God and I don't need God. The Bible says pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And Nebuchadnezzar had a major fall in his life. Look at this verse on the screen. Proverbs 16, verse 5. The Lord despises pride. That means he hates it. You can be sure that the proud will be punished. There are many, many verses in the Bible. The Bible says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Grace is the power you need to change. If you need to change something in your life, you need to be humble. God, resist the proud. That means whenever I'm prideful, I'm on the opposite side of God, and my arms are too short to box with God. He's going to win every time. God hates pride, but we get comfortable and complacent with success. Second thing is we don't pay attention to the warning signs. Now, often in your own life, when things are going good, you don't see the warning signs, but in every success are the seeds of your own destruction. But often the signs are not seen because pride blinds us. I teach pastors, and I tell pastors all the time, always being in the spotlight blinds you. And that's true in any area of life. Right now on this stage, there are, several hundred thousand watts sitting on me. It's kind of blinding. If you're in the spotlight all of the time, you can't see clearly. And so it's not good for your soul. That's why I tell pastors, you need to go home and mow your own lawn and change the diapers and do some laundry and wash the dishes and do the stuff that real people do. And do everything like, you just need to keep in touch with your roots. We don't pay attention to the warning signs. Now, God clearly warned Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't just remove him from office. God cared enough about this king to warn him. He gives him a dream. He brings Daniel to interpret the dream. Daniel says, this is going to happen, and you can avoid it. You can avoid this massive fall in your career, this embarrassing experience, if you'll just humble yourself, honor God, stop forgetting God, do the right thing. And so God said, I'm going to warn you in advance. You're about to lose your kingdom, and you're about to lose your sanity. Question, what are the warning signs in your life when you're headed in the wrong direction? Do you even know what they are? Do you know what the warning signs are in your life, that you're kind of gotten off track, that you're getting a little prideful, that you're forgetting God? Do you even know what those signs are? Conflict could be a warning sign. If you're having conflict in a relationship, that's a sign you're on the wrong track. Chaos in your life can be a warning sign. Confusion. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing right now. That's a warning sign. You're not as well connected to God as you ought to be. You're doing it on your own power. Like, if it's to be, it's up to me. Temptation can be a warning sign. I'm just being tempted at work, at school, with someone or something. That's a warning sign. And God warned Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to lose it all, buddy. You're very successful. You're the most powerful, influential, successful guy in the world. But you're going to lose it all if you don't change quickly. And Daniel tells the king that he needs to do two things. Now pay attention to this. Verse 27. Repent of your sins and start doing right. Then, number two, begin to show merciful kindness to the poor and oppressed. Then God will allow you to keep prospering. If you want to maintain your success, you need to do these two things. First, he says, repent. Now, we've talked about this word. It just means change your mind, change your attitude, change your thinking. The word repent in Greek is metanoia. Meta means change. Noia means your mind, to change your mind. I used to think this way about my life. Now I think this way about my life. That's what repent means. You just change your attitude. You got some stinking thinking in your mind. You got a check up from the neck up, and you need to go, oh, that's the wrong thing. I've been thinking this is all about me. It's not. It's all about God. And the Bible says, repent, change your mind. Why? Because humility is a choice. Let me say that again. Humility is a choice. It's something you choose to do to yourself. Did you know that never in the Bible are you told to pray, God, humble me? Not once in Scripture are you ever told by God to pray, God, humble me, God, keep me humble. Doesn't say that. It says, humble yourself.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Please stay with us because there's a lot more of our series, Unshakable, coming right up.
Thanks for joining us today here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. As Christians, we know that in order to live for God in the most meaningful way possible, we need His Word deep down in our hearts. Right now, I'd like to tell you about something called the Verses of Hope Scripture Box. this vegan leather box is filled with full-color, artfully illustrated, and inspiring scripture cards, along with graphically designed, four-color, lined cards for your favorite Bible verses, personal notes, and observations. This resource will daily restore your sense of hope when life gets the best of you, when you're looking for answers to difficult questions, or when you just need to be refreshed in the Lord. The Verses of Hope Scripture Box will help you get on the path to a more Christ-centered life as you fill your mind and heart with His Word. And because this stylishly designed study tool looks so great, you'll also be adding a bit of flair to your office or living space. It's a great way to start a conversation with people around you about God's Word. Limited quantities are available, so act now. To get your very own Verses of Hope Scripture Box, just go to PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. Thanks so much for your support.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Once again, here's Rick.
Pride is when I accept the credit for things that God and other people did through me and for me. When I accept the credit that doesn't really belong to me. I couldn't have done it without God. I couldn't have done it without other people. But I'm acting like it all came because of my brilliance. Pride is accepting credit for things that God and others did through you and for you. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. A lot of people think humility means I walk around going, oh, I'm no good, I'm nothing, I'm worthless, I'm just a pile of junk. You're not a pile of junk. Jesus didn't die for junk. You are infinitely valuable to God. Look at the cross. It shows how much you're valuable. Jesus died for you. That's how valuable you are. But you're also deeply flawed and broken, and you have weaknesses and mistakes and sins in your life. Both are true. You're deeply flawed and you're deeply loved. Both of them are true. And pride, or humility, is just having a realistic estimate of yourself. And it's not putting yourself down. It's thinking about others. It's getting the focus off you. Here's the difference. If I walk into a room where they're having a party, and I say, hey, how do I look? I'm thinking, how do I look? That's pride. If I walk into a room, a party filled with people, and I say, who needs my help? That's humility. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. I'll say it again. It's thinking of yourself less. The humble person isn't going around going, oh, I'm so humble, I'm so humble. The humble person is so busy thinking about other people and thinking about God, they're not even thinking about themselves. Does that make sense? Humility is other person-centered. It's God-centered. And the more you think about and care about others and care about God, the more humble you will be. And so he says, you need to repent and you need to humble yourself. That's a choice. God, you don't want God to humble you, because if you don't humble yourself, God will humiliate you. And there are plenty of ways to do that. You don't want that to happen. And it's a whole lot easier to humble yourself than to have somebody else have to do it in your life. And then he says, the second thing you're going to do, he says, if you do this, you can avoid the big fall, is he says, serve the poor. Serve the poor. Why in the world would God tell the most powerful man in the world to serve the poor? Well, there are many, many reasons for this. First, it gets the focus off yourself. You're thinking about people who have more needs than you do when you are succeeding. Second, it keeps you in touch with reality. You know, in America, we don't realize how blessed we are. We live in a bubble. Let me just put this in perspective. If you have any coins in your pocket right now, any, or any coins in a little, you know, the dish at home, or you got some in your purse, you are already wealthier than over 90% of the people in the world. You just even have a thing called money that's just laying around. If you have a refrigerator with food in it, you're wealthier than 50% of the world. See, most people would love to be poor in America. Everybody is rich in America. Everybody. Even the poorest of the poor in America are rich, because we have safety nets here to take care of people. Even the poor have a television or have a phone and things like that. They have clothes. They have a roof over their head. Most of the world would love to be poor in America. And that's why you live in a bubble until, like, you go on a peace trip and you see how the rest of the world really does live. And when you serve the poor, it keeps you in touch with reality. This is the warning that God gives to Nebuchadnezzar. He totally ignores it. And so the third thing that happens, write down the third problem, is we put off doing what we know is right. And this is the third reason that Nebuchadnezzar fell, and it's going to be the third reason that you might fall in your success if you don't hear the warning. We put off doing what we know is right. We procrastinate, we postpone, we delay, we defer, we dawdle. Daniel 4, verse 28 says this. After he had had this dream interpreted, 12 months later, oh, wait a minute, 12 months later, what's he been doing for the last year? God says, you're going to lose your kingdom and you're going to lose your mind if you don't change. Well, what did he do? What in the world is he doing? He's dawdling, procrastinating, delaying, deferring, ignoring, forgetting, not changing anything in his life. Now, let me ask you this. If God warned you, if God tonight warned you in a dream, you're going to lose everything you've ever worked for in your life if you don't change, would you wait 12 months? Let me ask you that. Personally, if God warned you, the truth is, he has warned you. It's right here in this book. And he says, if you'll do these things, I'm going to bless you and you're going to succeed in life. If you don't do these things, you're going to fail. You're going to hit the wall. You're going to have dead ends, delays, difficulties, and things are not going to go the way you want them to go. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. So we put off doing what we know is right. He knew what to do. And it says here, 12 months later, because he hadn't done anything, all of what Nebuchadnezzar dreamed did actually happen to him. He lost it all. He's taken a walk on a flat roof of his royal palace in Babylon, and as he looked out across the city, and I'm sure it was quite magnificent, the skyline, he boasted to himself. He's talking to himself. I'm sure he's going, man, Nebi, you know, he calls himself Nebi. Nebi, you are the man. You're the dude. You're number one. Everybody wants to be you. You know, got to be good looking. He's so hard to see. He said, you are the man. And as the words were still on his lips, a voice came from heaven. This is what God declares to you, decrees to you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your power is being taken away. You're no longer the ruler of this kingdom. You're going to be deposed from the palace, ostracized by everyone, forced to live with the wild animals. And immediately it all happened. He lost his kingdom. And he lost his mind. He literally went insane. History confirms this, that there was a period of time. Now, we don't actually know how long he was in this loss, where he lost his mind, lost his kingdom. Because the Bible says you're going to lose it for seven periods. And some scholars think that means seven seasons, which would have been a little bit less than 2 years. And some people think it means 7 years, which would have been a long time. But it wasn't like a month or two. He has a major CEO burnout. And it's public and it's embarrassing. And the guy who was the most powerful man in the world is now drooling on himself and acting like an animal in the desert and can't even make sense. That's humbling. That's humiliating. He's out of touch with reality, becomes a fool. He's unreasonable. He acts like an animal. By the way, you haven't ever seen it like this, but have you ever seen a friend who all of a sudden decides to not do what God wants them to do, and they walk off a cliff and do something self-destructive, and you're going, what in the world? Have you lost your mind? You go, wait a minute. You tell me, you're going to leave your wife and kids for her? Or have you lost your mind? Wait a minute. You're going to leave your husband? And you're going to break up your marriage for that guy? Have you lost your mind? People do this all the time, self-destructive behavior, because they're running from God. And so his life just collapses in a very public and humiliating way. And we see it all the time. In fact, the news loves to cover this kind of stuff. But God has mercy on Nebuchadnezzar. And after this period of humiliation, whether it's 2.5 years or a couple years or 7 years, we don't know, he restored his mind. And I want you to see now the steps that Nehemiah took back to sanity.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. If you'd like a copy of today's message or the whole series, just go to PastorRick.com. And while you're there, go ahead and sign up for Pastor Rick's free daily email devotional, and be sure to check out all the other great resources available to you. One of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize Scripture. The Bible says in Proverbs 7:2, "Guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down, and also keep them deep within your heart." But how can we get God's Word rooted deeply in our hearts in an effective, long-lasting, and transformative way? Well, there's a lot of great ways, and here's Pastor Rick to tell you about one of them right now.
One of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize Scripture. You say, "I can't do that." Oh, yes, you can. The Bible says in Proverbs 7, verse 2, "Guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down and keep them deep within your heart." To keep them deep in your heart, you have to remember them. That's why I've had my team create a beautiful gold scripture box so you can practice memorizing the verses that we give you and some that you can develop on your own. Now, we've started a collection of 40 verses about hope. These are going to encourage you when you feel down and discouraged. It's a collection of spiritual tools that will help you keep God's word in you so you have it when you need it most. You know, when you're tempted, you rarely have a Bible by your side. And when you're witnessing to somebody who doesn't know Christ, or they're under stress, or they need comfort, or they're in a crisis, there's not usually a Bible hanging around. So you need God's Word in your mind so you can remember it and you can use it when you need it. Now, I had a graphic artist create Bible verse cards with multiple graphic designs and really cool colors, so you're going to enjoy studying these verses. It's not just words on a blank card, but the colors will actually help you remember these Bible verses. And to help you develop the habit of memorizing Scripture, we've included 64 full-color decorated cards with lines that you can practice writing out your favorite verses. So in addition to the 40 verses of hope, you can write down verses that are meaningful to you, that come to you in your quiet time. And I want to encourage you to use these cards to write down the scriptures that you want to put in your mind and to hide in your heart. And then when you need them, the Holy Spirit can bring them back to mind. Now, the Holy Spirit can't bring up something you haven't put in your heart or in your mind. So store them in this beautiful gold box. It's a real pretty box that will make a great conversation piece. And by the way, this is a skill that you can learn. You say, "I can't memorize anything." Oh, yes, you can. Do you remember a phone number? You remember a recipe? You remember a baseball statistic? You remember the words to a song? You remember whatever's important to you. And memory is a muscle that you can strengthen. In fact, studies have shown that if you learn to memorize Scripture, your brain will actually get stronger and you will remember other things better as well. That's right. So study after study have shown that if you teach a child to memorize Scripture, they'll be a better student at school too, because it strengthens your mind right away. Now, imagine this. If you only memorized one verse a week, that's a good thing, okay? One verse a week. In 1 year, you will have memorized 52 verses from the Word of God, and you'll be so much stronger as a believer. Now, my hope is that this tool will help you learn to love God's Word, listen to God's Word, and live God's Word as you share it with others. Now, while you're working on these verses and some of the verses you want to do, my team's actually working on new sets of Bible verses that will be released throughout the year that you can add to your collection. So I hope you'll get this tool. We're doing it for you.
Limited quantities are available, so act now to get your very own vegan leather Verses of Hope scripture box. Just go to PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.